Good morning, everyone. Let me get my camera set so y'all can see the entire board. All right. Let me get everything organized. Today is Q&A day, except we're going to do something a little different today. Normally, I just answer lots of questions on Q&A today. And I've been reading through the Facebook group and doing a little bit of coaching in there and thinking on a problem that I see all the time with enough. So, in my opinion, one of the areas that I think most of us in the membership, like when I think about the four basics, there's like everyone's going to struggle with something. So we just all need to normalize the idea that there's going to be these four basics. I'm going to learn tools on how to lose weight and no BS. And like every fucking person in the world, there's going to be something that does not come easy to me. It's going to be because of how I think about it, my, what I think I like, what I've always thought that is hard for me, like all of my personal filter is going to zone in on something. And then that's going to be my struggle. So the first thing I want to tell y'all is that it is normal to have things in no BS that does not make sense. Number one, you have been taught for years and years and years, probably something completely opposite. So when I tell you this, it is running interference and head first into something you probably believe about you, your abilities, what you think is good, what you think is bad, what you think is right, what you think is wrong. So don't freak out that like you're learning concepts here in No BS and you're like, I don't know why this is so hard for me. I must be the unicorn whose horn is like hanging off the side broke. No, you're not. You're called normal. All y'all gonna have to drop this idea that you're gonna learn shit and it's gonna be perfect. No, you're supposed to be listening to stuff. The reason why I want you going through No BS over and over again, the reason why we give you Thoughts 2.0 is because when you listen to No BS the first time, guess what? Most of you haven't ever been taught how to listen to your thinking, recognize your thinking, much less challenge your thinking, try to think in a new way, process an emotion. We're taught to eat over emotions. We're taught to watch TV. We're taught not to cry. How many times have you said to a kid, when they're crying over something and you're like, don't cry. It's okay. We do it to our own children. All we're telling them in that moment is, oh, whatever your feelings, inappropriate or not correct in this moment. Instead of saying, what are you feeling? Why are you crying? And then getting to the root of what's going on. We are not taught these things. So I give you Thoughts 2.0, and then we give you trusting your body, and we give you self-love. We give you multiple layers of teaching you your fucking thought work because it ain't going to click the first time. Ain't going to click the second or the third. You're going to have to keep listening and little things start making more sense. So what I want to do today is rather than answering a bunch of questions is I want to teach you about it tastes so good. This is a sentence that I think most of you have that goes on in your brain. I see it all the time. Like, well, I would stop it enough. Like, I know what it feels like and everything, but it tastes so good. And we say that all the time as if that is like, well, the reason why I can't stop is because it tastes so good. And we have to challenge this. We have to understand why do we keep eating? Because I promise you, you can stop eating even if it tastes good. Here's how I know. If your child's life depended on it, your fur baby's life depended on it, and you were given the world's most favorite food that you have, and I said, I'm going to take your child away. You know that dog you love so much, that cat you cuddle with all the time? Gone. Unless you can do 7 days of eating nachos and ice cream and stopping at enough. And I got a sensor in your belly and I'm going to know. You find a way. You know what way you would do it? You tell yourself the reason why stopping at enough needs to happen. You would not focus on it tasting good. You would be focused on what you want most. I would like to keep those children safe. I would like to keep my fur baby.
you would be telling yourself, I can do this. I can do this for this week. You'd have a different conversation. Right now, y'all are having one conversation. It tastes so good. You know what? It just tastes so good. So I'm going to give you a process. We're going to talk a lot about it. But in the meantime, I'm going to be bringing on Coach Yesenia. Coach Yesenia is going to be in the Q&A, and she's going to answer a lot of the questions for us over here in Q&A today, because I'm going to get through some Q&A at the end, but I really want to speak to this because I think it's really important for us to address this topic. Let me go over a couple of announcements. Number one, ding dong, knock, knock, knock. If you are going to do Don't Stop Believing, you have got to sign up now. We are in the throes of training. It is not too late. Please don't sit there and tell yourself you can't do it for some bullshit reason. We have inside of Don't Stop Believing, Susie Hatley. So for all of you who are like, I'm worried about my knees. I'm worried about my arthritis. I'm worried about blah, blah, blah. We have a specialist in there who's in the Facebook group, actively answering questions, helping people understand their body, understanding how to move. She's teaching an entire workshop next month on movement and your body and how to like purposely move when you have pain and how to do it in a way that sets you up for being a mover for the rest of your life. She and I did a 30-minute chat. It's in the video replays now and in your Private Mirror podcast about a week ago. All of you should listen to it. I want as many of you doing this race as we possibly can. I also did a Facebook Live the other day where I talked about some of the things that I think is important for y'all to understand about doing the Don't Stop Believing event. So if you're sitting on the fence, either email us at support and let us help you figure out if you should do this. Post in the Facebook group asking like whatever your questions are, but time is of the essence. I want you involved in the training for as long as possible. This is not your typical race. This is not where you just get a training plan and you show up on race day and have to figure it out. My mindset calls start. I think they start this week. I'm almost sure that I'm doing the first mindset coaching call around like being afraid of being seen, worrying that you won't be able to finish, worrying that you're the biggest girl in the race, all of those kinds of things. We got Jane doing technical stuff like just shoes, bras, chafing, things like that. We are supporting you the entire way. One of the things that I think is terrible about most running events is they provide no community until the day you show up. I want you having a community to learn how to move with, so it is not too late. Also, trusting your body is ongoing right now. That is this month's course. So make sure that you're watching it. Somebody asked, is it normal for binging to increase when working on feeling your feelings? Yes, because you've only been like, I want you to think about when you start feeling your feelings, you have to get used to feeling them and your brain is going to light up with its only coping mechanism, which is eating. So when you like, sometimes there can be an uptick, but that doesn't mean it's not working. It means that you're allowing yourself to start feeling more of your feelings. At some point, your body doesn't feel safe, and then it wants to shut it back down. And what we want to do is we want to keep exposing you to feeling your feelings so that eventually you'll be like, okay, I am safe. There is nothing going on here other than this is what it feels like in my body. And when you get to where you make friends with your feelings, you don't have to run from them anymore. We don't run from our friends. And right now, y'all treat feelings like they're an enemy. So that could happen. The virtual plan, yeah, for DSB, go to, can DSB be a walking event? Y'all, some of y'all, oh my God, y'all are asking questions. Go to the site. All of this is over there. This is telling me we're doing a poor job of telling y'all what this event is like. This is not a running event. This is a walking or running event. 90% of our people are walkers. 90%. Where are you ever going to do an event where 90% of them are the walkers? Nowhere. Here's the other thing. What do you mean? Like everybody's like, hell yes, I'm walking. I'm the walker. Like everybody's walking. Lots of people are walking. Some people are going to run and walk. Some people are going to run. But the majority of the people are getting out there and walking. Walking is so amazing for all of you. The other thing, oh, my eye. Sorry, I got like an eyelash flipping around in my head. Somebody asked, I'm not able to do it in person. How does the virtual plan work? Lisa, if you'll just go over to the event page, the Don't Stop Believing event page, it is all explained there. Our virtual people are in the same group, getting all the exact same training. The only difference between virtual and in-person, the in-person people will be doing the race here. You will be doing it at home. But in terms of, you will get some swag. You will get all of the training that we're doing. You get access to our private Facebook group. We are all doing this together. All right. Let's see. Is there anything else? Oh, in the big news, the biggest news of all, I think, is there's two exciting things happening. Number one, if y'all love Trust Your Body, y'all gonna love next month too. I am hosting Conquering the Scale next month. I am so sick and tired of women being told by the diet industry bull fucking shit about weighing in and their weight and what a goal is and all the crap that we go through. So I created my dream program for getting on the scale. And it is good. It's so good that my husband was listening to the videos because he does all the sound, like all the audio processing and stuff. And he said, this is great. He even complimented me and Yasmin on a meeting yesterday because Yasmin is like my right hand, my ride or die when it comes to content. And he was like, y'all did a fabulous job. Even Chris, who doesn't have scale drama, learned some things. So I think you're going to be in love with that program. It is going to help free so much thought drama around the scale. And then the other exciting thing, we do not have a final date. We will be giving y'all a final date in about a week and a half, but we are kicking the summer off with the No BS Summer School, which is a half a day workshop in the beginning of June. Where, remember when we did, if you weren't here, we did a big full day workshop to kick off the new year. Well, we're going to do a half a day summer school workshop to kick off summer, where we are going to work with you on what's different about summer, how to overcome those big ass obstacles like Kryn, like all my retiree friends in the summer, we like to just spontaneously play golf and get the drinks and do pool time and we camp. Or the moms are like, I do pretty good until them rugrats are out all summer long. And then me, I'm at the pool, super uncomfortable in my bathing suit. Barbara over there starts bringing chips and guac every day. What do I do about that? And then we got the other half who's like, no, I am on fire. You know what the summer is for me? The only time I get to lose weight. So we're going to kick everything off with summer school. We're going to reset our brain to be like uncover. What is it that we believe about the summer? How much weight do we want to lose? Do we want to maintain? Do we want to gain? Whatever we want to do, we're going to plan and be intentional. We're going to address major obstacles. We're going to tie you up in a bow and send you out the door. And then that month, we will roll straight into stalls and plateaus. Because I figure if we learn about stalls and plateaus the very first month of the summer, y'all will not be sitting there telling me in August, well, I was doing so good. Then I hit a stall through the summer when you were literally eating chips and guac with Barbara all summer. But ain't no stall. You and Tom and his wife that was out on the golf course slicking beers all summer long because they want to play around every now and then. That is not a stall. So we are going to figure out how to overcome typical summer obstacles. All right. Put my glasses back on. All right, let's get started. So we are going to talk about It Tastes So Good. Now, I have a lot of notes here. I normally don't read off notes, but I literally thought about this the last few days, and I've been writing and journaling every morning about this concept and how do I want to teach it to all of you. So I'm going to use some of my notes. So y'all just be prepared. Queenie ain't got no scripts or anything. So we're going to go off the top of her head. The first thing is it tastes so good. It is one of the most common thoughts that anyone will have. So I want you to think about this. It's a normal thought to have. There's nothing wrong with having this thought. It just can't be the only thought that you have. But the way that, so the easy fix is to, number one, turn up the volume on that thought. If you say it a lot, you can't just be like, well, the reason why I'm eating is because it tastes so good. No, here's the accurate fact. The reason why you're eating is because when you have the thought it tastes so good, you don't think anything else to refute it. You don't tell yourself any directions. You don't sit there and say like, yeah, it tastes really good. And don't forget, I am now losing weight, eating things I love. So it's normal to lose weight and enjoy your food. I've not been taught that. It's also when it tastes so good, you can say, and I'm so lucky I get to plan this more often. This is the first time I've ever been able to lose weight where I don't have to worry that just because something tastes good, I don't get to have it very often. That's why I can just stop here because there will be plenty. So I want you to just like the shortcut version of it is really understanding that when we have a thought like that, y'all will think the reason why I'm overeating is because it tastes so good. And I need you to understand the reason why you're overeating is because you're only thinking about how it tastes and not nuancing, not also considering other things, not working on what else is true about this. So that's like the shortcut. But I really want to talk to you about something that I've been thinking about. Like, why do we tend to overeat simply because something tastes good? I think that one of the things that is really common for people is that it is a signal that you have past diet trauma. So what is past diet trauma? Diet trauma, we've introduced in camps, in different lessons. It is where you have probably done something like, say, HCG or whatever those shots are, where you're only allowed to eat very little food and it has to be a certain thing and that's it. And you get these shots. So you're really restricting and you're sending your body into severe caloric deprivation. Your body does not like severe calorie deprivation. It is still very primal in the way that it operates, which means it thinks when you are in a severe calorie deficit. Now, I know we don't count calories, but we all know when we're being a jackass. It thinks something must be wrong in the world. It doesn't think like, oh, we've evolved. We're just losing weight. Like, that is not what your body thinks. Your body has a trauma response. Your body doesn't think. Your body internalizes everything from a very primal instinct. So when it's restricted like that, it creates memories. It creates memories in your nervous system. It creates memories in your brain. It does a lot of imprinting. So what typically happens is that you start associating anything that tastes good as forbidden. So you have all these diets where you've got a lot of conditioning around food tasting good and that equaling bad. You shouldn't be eating it. You don't get this very often. It's going to go away. It's scarce. So all of that is in your brain, in the subconscious. And this is why have y'all journaling. Y'all are like, oh, I'm so scared of the journaling. And yet you have this thought running your show all the time. And you're like, I would rather just sit here and whine about having this thought than to fucking journal on it and figure some shit out so I can quit living by this. So what happens is that food will taste good and it activates diet trauma inside of you. Even though nothing's going wrong, even though like logically you're just sitting there going, but Corinne says we get to eat what we want, but your brain is like, siren, 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 good food coming down. Oh my God, that's bad. And she's probably not going to eat it again. She's probably going to be in a calorie deficit. The last time she did this, it was an emergency. She was only eating, she like lost her hair. That is what your body's doing on the inside. That's why a lot of times when food tastes good, it activates your nervous system. And when your nervous system starts panicking that you're going to do something traumatic to it, you start eating faster so that you can escape the panic. This is why we do this. So I think it's really you really have to understand that this is normal. So one of the things that we have to remember is that we have a fear of restriction running in the background of our mind if we've ever done diets that severely restricted us. That means that we are going to need to generate this, like bring it all to the surface. You got to bring it up for yourself. So one of the things that you want to do is you want to break the cycle of this like faux restriction that might be happening. Now, I'm talking about faux restriction. If any of you ladies are jackassing around and manipulating and bastardizing my program and stuff, I'm not talking to you. I am talking to everybody who's doing the four basics, where you are literally like, you know what I do each day? I sit down and I make a plan. And I am including foods that I enjoy that do taste good. It doesn't mean that you don't have any should planning at all, but overall, you are in integrity with the program. That has nothing to do with perfection. It means you're giving you're sitting there giving yourself a chance. You're saying, you know, like I'm paying attention to hunger. I don't always get it right, but I am paying attention. I'm trying to pay attention to enough. I don't always get it right. Sometimes I even beat myself up a little, but I'm paying attention to the things I'm doing. When I'm making a plan, I'm putting foods on there that I normally wouldn't have. And it's scary. And sometimes when I eat them, I feel like I can't stop because I keep having this thought, when food tastes really good, I can't stop. I just want you to see that the reason why you can't stop is because your body is panicking because of what it's experienced in the past. And when we understand and know that, we can work with it and we can break the cycle, but it is going to take some courage. It is going to take some patience, and it's going to take some like just being willing to go through it. All right. So here are the steps to breaking the cycle of it tastes so good running your day. Number one, you got to eat the food. Some of y'all think like, all right, I'm not stopping at enough when I eat potato chips. We'll use chips as an example. Lots of people like potato chips. So if you don't like potato chips, insert pizza. If you don't like pizza, insert cookies. Insert your thing of choice, okay? Some of y'all think the answer is, well, when I'm not stopping at enough, I should take these foods away from myself. I just can't handle it. That is a thought error that will not serve you. What I'd rather you do is think like this. I want to practice more with these foods and prove to myself I can learn to stop it enough. It may take breaking a few eggs. It may take me a little time, but I understand that I would much rather live my life figuring out how to be around these foods than living my life either overeating and regretting them or hiding from them. Hiding is never fun. I want you to think about it. Even if you're playing hide and seek and it's a game, we all still get a little nervous hoping that they don't find us. We don't like to hide. It does not feel great. So the first thing that we want to do is we want to eat this food. There is a few ways to do this. You know, some of y'all, it's nuts. I will tell you, my kryptonite used to be peanut butter. It used to be almonds. We now can keep nuts. We can keep peanut butter in the house. I can keep ice cream in the house. I can keep all kinds of things in the house. Here lately, I've been doing this work again. New food, it wants to bring up because I haven't ate crackers in a long time. And I just recently found some crackers I love. I never have been a big cracker girl, but I have found that I really like having some crackers with my salads. And I noticed I was buying these bags where there's like three servings in them. I forget what they're called though. I put them in the Instacart. So I don't know. I just know what picture it says buy again. There's some kind of a sea salt and rosemary. I think they're like a rice cracker or something. They're super crunchy. That's why I don't like a cracker that melts in my mouth. Chris is all about fucking saltines. He will eat a sleeve of saltines. And I'm like, ugh. To me, I don't like anything that just melts on my tongue. I like something that's got some grip to it. And these do. So I noticed a serving for me was the bag. Like the bag. And this was happening for like 2 weeks. And I kept thinking, oh, these chips, they taste so good. I kept thinking, so hard to stop. Like I was doing what y'all do. And then I started thinking about this. I was writing it down and I was like, oh my God, like I am just not following a plan each day because I am sitting here eating in these chips, like, or eating these crackers. Like there's no tomorrow. So I did this work on myself and I started practicing exactly what I'm teaching you. And now I can eat them out of the bag and I can hear the conversation of me thinking they taste so good. And because I kept giving them to myself on a daily basis and slowed things down and paid attention, what I noticed is the last like week or so, I've been leaving, like saying like, "Dad, this is good enough. I know I want to eat more and I know they taste good, but I know in a few minutes, I like everything will be fine because I calmed myself down around them." So let me tell you how it works. So the first thing we want to do is we actually want to practice. We want to trigger the desire to eat more on purpose. What most of y'all do is this. You don't want to do it on purpose. You're like, "I'm just going to hide from this food." You know what we're going to do? We're going to tell our husbands and our girlfriends and our wives. We're going to say like, "Don't buy that anymore. I can't be around it. You're now responsible for my mouth." And that's fine until they don't want to, or they love that food, or they forget. And then we're just hella pissed because we see them and we're like, "Oh, I'm probably good. I'm going to try them again." With no practice, no intervention, no changing how we think about them. Just because you haven't been around a food for a month doesn't mean that when you see it again, that you've changed your opinion about them 1 ounce. When you take them away, you take them away because you think, "I can't be around it." The next thing you know, when they're in the house, you're like, "Oh, that's that food I can't be around. Let me just try." And then your brain lights up and says, "Oh my God, we probably won't get these for a long time. Last time it was a whole month because she can't be around these foods. We might as well just eat all of it. Let's get it out of our system." That's what we do to ourselves. And when we do that, guess what we're not doing? We're not intentionally triggering desire. We're just snowballing right on into it. We're triggering it without a goal in mind. We're triggering it haphazardly. We're triggering it at our own expense. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to trigger it on purpose with intention. So that is what we're going to do first. We're going to get our crackers. We're going to get our nuts. We're going to get our shit. And we're going to start practicing eating these things, knowing we're going to want to eat them because they taste so good, knowing that in the past, we haven't stopped ourselves, but we're also going to be knowing we are now practicing these foods because we are learning the skill to be around any food and to be able to stop. Second step, you have to normalize this. It is normal that when something tastes good, that you want to keep eating it. Nothing has gone wrong. It is supposed to taste good. Like, I don't want you to be like, "Oh, this tastes bad. I don't really enjoy it." That's probably a smoking lie you'll never believe about your favorite foods. You might get to a point like with me when it comes to ice cream in particular. I like ice cream, but I used to say I love ice cream. I used to think I couldn't live without it. I used to think it was the end all be all. Ice cream still tastes good. Now my story is I like ice cream, but I don't need it all the time. I just don't. It's like what I have decided. It is one of those foods I enjoy, but there's just other things in my life I enjoy a lot more now. So I'm like spreading the wealth of my joy. So we want to just normalize that it is okay, number one, that food tastes good, because many of you have spent your lifetime being told that food that tastes good, you couldn't lose weight on. It is normal to lose weight eating foods that you like. It is normal to want to eat more. There's nothing going wrong. It's also normal to be nervous around them. It's normal to have thoughts like you can't stop. All of that's normal. I think what we do is we say things like, something's wrong with me. I must be broken. I must be an addict. I'm out of control. We say a lot of that. Y'all, I want you to shed those labels. I don't care how much you believe them. It will never serve you to keep them. It's never going to help you lose weight. And it's for sure never going to help you gain authority around food. If you want to have authority and confidence around food, you have to start talking in a new way about food. And declaring yourself an addict, out of control, all of those things always will feel disempowering. Now what I want, you don't have to go to, I'm in total control. You don't have to go to like, I'm a complete food freedom. But there's middle ground. There's middle ground to say something like, you know, I'm a normal person. Normal people often want to eat more. Normal people often overeat sometimes. When you normalize this, you take your pressure down. And when you take the pressure down, you are ready to start making better choices for yourself. I promise all of you, this is how it works. It is not helpful to beat down. So normalizing that nothing is wrong with you, I think is a key step. It will help with number three, which is now we have to settle the nerves. You need to settle your nervous system. So what we want to do is we want to have the food on purpose. We're going to trigger desire. That means it may also trigger all the thoughts of, I'm an addict. I always overeat this. It's going to trigger a lot of your thinking. And we are doing that on purpose. We're normalizing that it is okay that we have this thinking. It's not the end all. This is just the stuff I've always told myself. And then I just want you to breathe. This is the normal part of the process. Shit happens in my body. I get a little panicky. Then I want you to pay attention to just what's going on in your body. You can use two things inside of No BS. If you want to play the now plus nurture, we've got a ton of resources in Trust Your Body, or you can just go to module 2, unit 8 of No BS, the now process that I've recorded. This is, but if you, let's say you're sitting at dinner and you're in the middle of a Ruby Tuesday and you're like, well, I'm sitting here with a bunch of people. I can't just get my phone out, Corinne, and play the now process. They'll think I'm crazy. What you can do is you can just simply set your utensils down. Even if you started eating, this will work at any time. Especially if you catch yourself thinking, this tastes so good, this tastes so good. All I want you to do, let's just all pretend we're at Ruby Tuesday right now. And we are eating something. They used to have a blondie. Let's go back in the Wayback Machine to Corinne's all-time favorite dessert, the blondie. And I'm thinking it tastes so good. Okay. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to set my utensils down. I will tell all of you, if you set your utensils down, that is such a, I don't care if you end up eating it. Please reward yourself for having like a moment where you are willing to meet yourself where you're at. Set them down and then you're just going to breathe and nobody will notice. Like you can be looking around, you can be looking really normal, but in your head, you can be like, I feel my heart racing. My mouth is watering. My brain has a lot of thoughts about finishing this. I'm even agitated. I notice I'm checking what everybody else's plate is. I want you to observe your body because that's all that's going on in the moment. Those things you're feeling in your body, what it does is when you start dropping into this observer mode where you're like, I notice my breathing's a little faster. I notice my mouth is watering. I notice that my heart's beating. I notice that I'm checking out other plates. I notice that my utensils are sitting there and I want to pick them up. Your brain is still calming down. You're giving your brain a small project in the moment. Because when you don't give it this small project to settle your nerves, it's now just scrolling all those thoughts anyway, without there being a tiny bit of space. So when the thoughts are just happening and you're just sitting there with your fork, you're just believing all of them. You're just like, oh my God, this looks so good. Look at everybody else. They're still eating. I'm the only one not eating. Like my mouth is watering. I just want to eat this. And what I want you to do is I want you to take deep breaths without the utensils. Then I want you to say, like, I notice this. I notice this. I notice this. That in and of itself will help your nervous system slow down. And that's key, because in order to do new things, we need new thinking and new emotions to get there. So we settle the nervous system. Once you've taken a few deep breaths and you feel ready, I just want you to ask yourself a few good questions. Questions like, am I okay to stop right now? Your answer may be, no, I am not okay with it. But at least ask yourself the question. You may say yes, and you'll tell yourself why. That's the benefit of asking the question. And if you ask the question of yourself, guess what else happens? When you ask that question, you give yourself the opportunity when you do a discovery worksheet to understand why you weren't okay to stop in the moment. You start finding out a lot more information about yourself. You can ask this question: can I leave just a little behind? Maybe I'm not okay with stopping, but is there an opportunity for me to leave just a little behind? Just the practice of leaving a little behind, you may not lose weight because you're leaving a little behind, but you will eventually lose weight because you'll give yourself the gift of learning that you can stop before you're ready, that you can leave some food behind and it not be the end of the world, that just because it tastes good doesn't mean you have to eat every single bite. You start learning that part that is helpful long-term. You may not be ready today to stop it enough, even though it tastes so good, but doing that and practicing that means one day I probably will. That is what has happened for me, not only when I was losing weight, but now even in maintenance. I still practice these tools. I'm always auto-correcting. I'm always looking for, you know, old patterns that try to come back. That's normal. Every human will do that for their entire life. Another question is, do I have permission to plan this as often as I want? I think this is a great question to ask yourself, because in the moment, your brain will trick you into thinking you can't plan this very often. Your brain will try to tell you all of its old diet tales, you know, like everything that you learned in Weight Watchers and from Jane Fonda and Susan Powder and Jenny Craig and keto, the whole 30 game, the Optavia people. Like, your brain is going to try to tell you all of that stuff. And what you want to remember and you want to check in is, do I have permission to plan this food that tastes good as often as I want? If the answer is no, that is when you tell yourself, we need to journal on this. Why am I not giving myself permission to learn how to enjoy the foods I like and lose weight? That is a journaling opportunity. But the only reason that the only way you will know to have to journal on that, to be able to explore that, to take it to ask coaches, to sign up for a coaching call, do whatever you need to do in Facebook with it, is if you're asking that question in the moment. What this does is that when you are asking questions like this, when you are challenging with good questions about being able to stop, even though it tastes so good, you are rewiring the brain and you are rewiring the brain's trauma center around food. You are reteaching your brain what it needs to know about feeling safe, that there's plenty, that we're not doing this like we've always done it. Because one of the things about diet trauma is that it gets triggered even when the new thing is unlike the rest. The way that I teach you in No BS is unlike all the other diets. We're working on our mind. We're giving ourselves permission. We're creating safety around food. We're learning how we have enough. We're not doing it like the other people. But when you make a plan, your brain will go to like, so restrictive. You can't have the things you want. It's like, well, wait, it's not restrictive. I get to plan what I would like to eat. And when I plan, that frees me from having to think about food all day, unlike when I was obsessing over calories with a calculator all the time, trying to figure out how much I could get in my gut. New thing. So when you ask these questions, you allow yourself to rewire your diet trauma history. All right, so we're going to ask good questions. Then after we ask those questions, we take a new action. Sometimes the new action is simply you stop eating. You're like, you know what? I've breathed. I've realized what's going on. And now I'm going to stop eating. Sometimes the new action is giving yourself permission to keep eating because you thought through all of it. And you're like, I'm not ready to stop. But I will do this cycle every single time I'm around food that tastes really good so that one day I will. Sometimes the new action is eating just a little bit more and realizing you are ready to stop. A new action can be many things. A new action can be you finish and you say, and I refuse to beat myself up, but I do agree that I'm going to learn from this. I will reach out for help and ask coaches. I will ask every single time I have an overeat and ask coaches. I will break down what all I did and what happened until I figure it out. That could be my new action. New action comes in 1,000 different ways. Do not limit yourself as to what taking a new step forward is going to look like. The best way to lose weight is to keep stepping forward, not to be perfect. Not to quit because you're not living up to your expectations or to someone else's, but to continually challenge yourself to see where there is a step forward that can be taken. Then the last thing, I want you to celebrate in writing. You have got to memorialize this process. Y'all need to do more memorializing on paper about what is working, what is a step forward. Where is your improvements? What is changing? Because all y'all want to do is dwell on where you're not at, what you're fucking up, and how terrible you are. We have to set that aside for a while. All right. Things to remember. I'm going to go through these quickly. Yesenia, if you want to just grab those questions that are over there, that would be great. If I get to them, I already answered one, Ashley Myers. If I get to the other two, I will. Otherwise, just go ahead and you can answer those because I still got to go through these 4 points. All right. So the last thing, let me move this down now, is don't forget the phases of change. So if Yesenia or Kara, if one of y'all or Kara, will y'all put in the chat and then in the description of this call, a link to the phases of change teaching that we've done. When you start this process, when you go through this process around it tastes so good, which can be used in 1,000 different ways. Like we can use this with so many things. What I want you to do is I want you to remember that you're going to get it right in the beginning about 20% of the time. When we first start tackling something, if you have been overeating because it tastes so good for a while, when you first start using this process, about 20% of the time, you will see it work. That means that 80% of the time, somewhere in here, your nervous system's going to freak out and you're going to just do what you always do to get relief from doing this. That's great. You need that 20%. You need 20% of the time for it to work to calm your ass down while it's with the other 80%. Your mind has to see this working a little bit before it's like, you know, it works sometimes. Maybe it's not so bad that we try again and we try again and we try again. If you stay out of the beat down, you're going to be more apt to want to go to the next phase of change, which is 40-60. So when you watch the phases of change, you want to make sure you remember this key thing. 20-80, 40-60, 60-40, then it goes 80-20. We never get to perfect. We never get to all the time, you know, baller status on it. We just get to where most of the time we're doing fucking good. And then we're willing to keep learning from the 20%. But it takes a while to get there. And that's okay. Because what we want to remember is we don't want to be 100% just eating things and blaming it because it tastes so good. We don't want to be 100% with our automatic behaviors. We want to be disruptors of our automatic behaviors as often as we can be. Even if it means that my often right now is 20% of the time. I'd rather be getting it 20% than no percent. That's for quitters. Y'all are not quitters. Y'all are no BS women. Number two, the goal isn't to feel good or confident before you start this. I don't need you to feel good about it. I don't need you to be excited to try. I don't need you to be like, well, I really would like to do it, but I'm just so scared. So I'm going to sit here and wait until Corinne says a magic word so that I'm like, oh my God, we're losing my weight. I can't wait to do this. I'm going to run out right now. That is not my goal today. You know what my goal is? To get you willing to try it, to see that this could be helpful, to be courageous in the face of your doubts and fears. You're supposed to be nervous. You're supposed to be wondering if this will work. That's exactly where you should be. If you're wondering if this will work, if you're like, you may be like, oh God, this is going to be so hard. Or you may be like, huh, I never really thought about it like this. That's exactly where you should be. That means go. That means try. That doesn't mean wait to listen to another video or find a podcast where it's like, I just need to be motivated. None of y'all need to be motivated. You need to be willing. You need to be more committed to doing things you're afraid of than you are committed to stopping because you're afraid. You got to switch that. It's got to start today. It's not true that you can't lose weight eating these foods or messing up. A lot of y'all have this thought like, I can't lose weight eating these foods, or you know, if I'm messing up, there's no way I'm going to be able to lose weight. Here's what's true. All of you mark this. What's true is you have to learn to be with food in a new way. I would much rather you be telling yourself that it's not that I can't have these foods and lose weight. It's not that if I mess up, I can't lose weight. What's true is I need to learn how to be with foods I love in a brand new way. And the truth is, your way right now isn't working. So quit trying it. Your way of just eating unintentional, not triggering the desire, not paying attention, just feeling hopeless around food, telling yourself that you can't eat these things, telling yourself you have no control. That is the way that's not working. We have to talk differently if we want to show up differently and we want to feel differently. This is just the think, feel, do cycle. And then I just want you to pick a food to begin with. Don't pick every fucking food that you think tastes good and try them out this week and then wonder why you're overwhelmed. Do what you're doing, but pick one food. Pick a practice food. Jane is doing practice foods in Trust Your Body. She is doing some walkthroughs there. We have a Fuck It Foods worksheet if you want to do it that way. We have so many resources available to you to practice eating. So I've got several videos where I will include these in all the notes. We have several videos where I did different versions of the Fuck It Foods worksheet where I walked people through and did all kinds of stuff. Jane has, she had a call this week. She's having another call next week around creating some food safety and doing things with food there. So we have these resources if you want to do guided stuff at first. But if you don't want to do guided stuff, write these steps down. Go get you your M&Ms or whatever it is you want to try. You put them on your plan and you sit down and you do it this way. Maybe you make yourself like a little, this is a calendar, but you could get like a little piece of paper like this. You could write the steps down. If you are fine with like your family or your partners seeing you do that, or maybe you're single, put it like for dinner, prepare, order you some Chinese, get you some Mexican, get pizza, Greek, whatever it is your thing. Order it, set it next to you, get started and just do it and start proving to yourself that there is a different way to think around food and that it's fine if food tastes good, but you're learning that you're always going to be having it available. You don't have to scarf it down anymore. No more hoovering to escape your thinking that you shouldn't eat it. We want to eradicate that thinking. Hoovering your food doesn't eradicate that belief. It's outrunning it until it comes back. What we want to do is we want to change the story completely so you never have to believe that shit again. All right. Well, let me see. Maybe Yesenia's having problems answering questions. Good morning. I'm finding that I used to understand what my hunger cues are, and recently it is different. Is that a normal thing to experience? Totally. Hunger cues do change as you lose weight. Sometimes what happens with hunger signals and stuff is, let's say you get a little bit more active. Like for me, when I'm in high active periods, you know, I get hungrier more often. When I'm in lower active periods, I just don't. Sometimes the signals change as you like, if let's say you're adding more fruits and vegetables to your world and you're drinking more water, maybe you start probiotics, as you change the gut bacteria, hunger cues and things like that could change too. So there's lots of different things. That's why we're always paying attention so that we get to where we get to know our signals. So I feel like I could tell easily when I was hungry. Now, after 6 weeks on the program, I'm confused. It's probably because you got so good at knowing now, like you want to just start paying a little bit closer attention. Your body's probably sending it up a little bit more subtly because it's not having to send it loud to get you to eat. A lot of times when people have been restricting for a long time, their body, it's almost like it gets lazy letting you know it's hungry because like, well, she ain't gonna listen anyway. And then what happens is when you really start this program and you start like, you know, eating a little bit more frequently and stuff, it's almost like your body doesn't scream anymore hunger. It now starts whispering. I'm sitting with urges about 65% of the time, but weekly I'm still given in. I'm doing the now plus nurture, describing the emotion and giving equal airtime, connecting to my why, calling out the lies in my brain and adding the power of pause. And I'm so proud of this. You fucking should be. Like, seriously, I'm proud of you. I wish your name was here. You said you're as an anonymous attendee. I'm still giving in to urges 2 times a week. Is there anything else I can be doing or thinking? Continue to give it time. Really investigate the 2 times that you're still giving in. What is different about those? And this, you'll just want to challenge your brain. Because what happens is like, if you're doing all that work like you are, and then you've got these 2 overeats happening, these 2 times where like, it's not that that process isn't working. There's something different about those, but we tend to want to think that they're all one in the same. So you want to challenge your brain to think, all right, this is working in these other times. Specifically, what is new? What is different? What is what is different about this? Make your brain go a little deeper as to what's going on. That would be my best advice for that. Okay, that's all the questions. All right. Whew. Oh, can you please elaborate on why I'm wanting to binge while immersed and trust your body? I'm doing all the calls and worksheets and journaling, but it feels strong. It's because it's making you think about all these things that you've just been eating over. That, like, it's just turning up the volume of what's always been there. It's okay if you want to binge more. This is what I want to tell you. This will be a mind fuck. I want you to tell yourself, it is okay that I want to binge more. And here's why. I am working on things that I used to just eat over. And it would be really normal to start working on things that are going to change my life, that are going to challenge me to go and create the life I truly want for myself, even if it's hard, even if sometimes I don't like what I'm seeing and feeling. But that is such worthy work. And it would be normal in those moments to want to, for my brain to think, we should just eat over this. I think that's normal. You know, the people who tend to turn down that stuff, it's like, I watch people do this all the time. In order to try to control their overeating, they turn down their entire life. They try to feel nothing, all for the sake of not overeating. I would much rather turn up the volume of my life, challenge the things I believe about myself, go out and try to live fuller, bigger, riskier, whatever it is that I'm thinking, and face the overeats and face wanting to binge, sometimes even doing it imperfectly, but I'm getting the chance to significantly improve my life and I can work on that stuff. What I don't want to do is live a turned down, mediocre, neutral, don't rock the boat, but always nervous that at any moment I might binge, at any moment I might do these things, at any moment something can go wrong. I don't live like that. I'd rather just get sloppy and figure my life out and figure out what I want for it and where I'm going and just promise that no matter what happens, I'm going to keep moving forward and I'm going to have my back. And in the moments when I'm scared, I'm going to tell myself, like, look, the version of us that's scared, the version of us that's also being a bitch to us, the inner critic, all of them, there's also this side of us, the ones who want more, the ones who cheerlead, the compassionate listener. Like, we're all one person and we're all moving forward, which means that when the inner critic pops up, the cheerleader, the compassionate person has to come in and say, like, it's okay. You don't have to yell so much. We're taking care of ourselves. When the scared version of us is sitting there, we've got the cheerleader to come on and say, like, but we're doing so good. It's normal to be scared. Look at all the things you're trying. You wouldn't be scared if you weren't trying things. So it's like, I like to think about all the different little personalities that live inside my brain, and we are all marching in the same direction. Even when the inner critic pipes up, even when the one that's scared to feel pipes up, even when the one that's worried about what other people think, they're coming along for the ride. And I always like to think about those voices too, as they're just trying to help me. They just don't want me hurt. These other voices, their job is to tell them it's okay. Here's why it's okay. So hopefully that was helpful. All right, everybody. Y'all have a good Wednesday. I hope this was helpful. If it was, please go to the Facebook group. I would love it because this was brand new content, brand new material. If you really like this, if you'll go to the Facebook group and you'll talk about what you learned, what you're going to try, and like share it, tag your accountability partners if they missed this call. There's only like 500 of us on here. There's over 12,000 of us in the membership. So tag people, let them know this recording will come out on Friday so people can listen to it. It's really helpful for us when you guys talk about what you're loving inside the Facebook group, because it gives us some really good feedback on things that you want to hear more of, things that you like to see more of, so that we can start thinking about like concepts you need help with and stuff. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.